Our precious Lord Jesus, you are the lover of our souls, the tender shepherd of your flock. You once told Gabriel Bassi that you were the most sensitive of sensitive souls, and you treat your bride with all these considerations and qualities. Condemnation, threats, and the demands of a harsh taskmaster are never your way with us, ever. Please help us to be fully and carefully discerning just who we are listening to and how we are interpreting our rhemas, words, and readings. And rescue us, please, when we start to fall into the traps of a familiar spirit posing as you. Amen. My dear, dear family, lately Claire received a letter of pure distress from one of our precious Heart Dweller family members. In this soul's zeal to follow the Lord without question, she plunged wholeheartedly into drawing rhemas to cover everything she wanted to do. This was good. Unfortunately, somewhere in her was a door for a demon to oppress her, and she didn't realize it. And soon she found herself discerning rhemas under a cloud of condemnation, which drove her over time into severe fasting, unending prayer, and physical illness, to the point where she was thinking that suicide was surely better than obeying what she thought was Jesus. Over the past 2 years, we have unfortunately heard this kind of thing more and more from our family, and so we are presenting her story so the wiles of the enemy are further exposed. And you will have yet another example to help you discern the subtle hand of Satan against us. Oh, dear family, we must remain oh so vigilant, and we must remember always the character of our tender Savior. Her letter began, "Dear Claire, I read your messages last year and started praying much more and asking for rhemas from your channel." At this point, she speaks of a particular rhema that seemed to encourage her to obey and endure anything she felt the Lord was instructing her to do or experience. At least that is the way she understood it. This is the first of several red flags in this girl's experience that we'd like to point out. Red flag: when we are drawing rhemas, clear, unattached, truthful discernment has to be our goal and mindset. We really need to get into the habit of binding lying spirits from our computers and phones and the connections to the internet. We have the sword of the Spirit to bind and silence the demons, and the truth and discernment sword to reveal the liars and lies, dear ones. Let us use them so the devils don't get in there. In fact, I and many of the prayer warriors have now begun encircling our phones, computers, and holy books with holy fire, and then encasing that in the blood of Jesus, in addition to using the swords. The devils know how important our discernment is to us, and we need to stand as strongly against them, muddling things up, as we can. Also, when we are seeking counsel from the rhemas, it is truly wise if we have first put on our armor and come to Him in confession, repentance, and dwelling prayer for the day. Once we are cleaned up, settled, and secure with Him, we will better be able to discern clearly the rhemas that we draw. Her letter continued, "I now follow the naked Christ 7 times a day, about 30 minutes per session. It could not take longer, because I would no longer be able to stand up. Recently, it is at least 8 sessions a day, lasting 30 minutes of a mixture of the Lord's Prayer, Hail Marys, and a total of 70 times of repeating the prayer, O blood and water from the Sacred Heart of Jesus." Dear ones, Jesus calls us to His heart. His way with us is love, not holding a whip over our heads. Any time that you feel you are being forced, against your will or common sense, to do something excessive, this is not the Lord. I'm going to quote a portion from a message here. Claire had gotten herself all wound up with busyness and that drive to do for him. And Jesus interrupted her day. He said to her, Claire, I need to talk to you. And this is Claire. She said, so I dropped everything and went to a back room with my computer where I could hear him more clearly. He began, there is no need for you to be harried. There is a time for everything. You need to clean the house. That is legitimate. I am not standing over you like a taskmaster cracking a whip. Stand, kneel, go back to communion, withdraw from the activity. My bride, there is time for everything, and today is the day you do housework. Stop being scrupulous. It's embarrassing to me, as though I was cruel and demanding. I am not. I understand this is the house's turn, and I've made adjustments for that. I just want you to be coming to me first thing every morning, because you have been pulled away numerous times and kept me waiting. And for what? A floor? Dirty dishes? Nothing a sovereign should have to wait for to see his bride first thing in the morning and receive her love and affection. Not under threat of punishment, but because she loves me. Now, if you go and look on our search site, you will find 7 specific messages where Jesus points out that he is not a harsh taskmaster. Her letter continues, the problem is that I have been sleeping for only 4 hours at night for months, and I am not getting permission for an afternoon nap. I have a headache from tiredness, and I can't focus. I understand the rhema discipline, because I would not want to be punished with the world. And although I try to obey because of sacrifice for the souls of purgatory, it is apparently never good enough. Red flag. If we feel condemned by any rhema or by instructions that we feel are from Jesus, that's a stopping point in need of much more discernment. Jesus and Holy Spirit do not condemn us. They convict us. If they are pointing to a sin, it may hurt our hearts with contrition. But feelings of not getting permission to do a natural and normal thing like sleep is not from him. He never asks more of us than we can give. That is the work of the enemy. We need to know our own weaknesses and know which buttons the demons will be able to push hard, as Claire just pointed out recently. Anytime we seek wisdom from the Lord. Otherwise, we are open to fall into the lies of the demons, even in our zeal to be obedient to the Lord. Red flag. In her experience, she was drawing and reading the rhemas, but seeing it as a discipline, not a time where the Lord can encourage and instruct. Oh, no, dear friends. This is not something that has to be done or else. It is one among many ways the Lord can speak his loving thoughts to us, his gentle instructions and corrections, and his encouragement that he is always with us. Her letter continued, I have lost 30 pounds as a result of fasting, yet I get a reprimand if I get an exception and eat an ice cream. I no longer watch TV, have no hobbies anymore, and try to be the pigeon of the ark. When I get the rhema, I bless you and I increase you, the shock strikes my heart because of the word increase. Fasting has become, from what we are hearing on the channel, one of the favorite ways for the demons to torment people, whether it be from food, sleep, or doing normal things with your family. You can't spend time relaxing with your husband. You need to pray. Do it more. Do it better than yesterday. Cut out this food. Cut out that one, too. Oh, you blew it? Now you really need to suffer for that. But what has Jesus shown us through Claire when she blew it, fasting? He encourages her. He tells her, okay, you blew it. So tell me you're sorry, and let's try again tomorrow. In fact, he once told her the following about wanting to do more for him and the kingdom. He began, "Let's do this step by step. You forsake yourself in the little things day by day, and don't be caught in a loop of condemnation. Give me what you think you can. Thank me for that, and each day it will get easier. Sacrifice many times is built slowly, step by step, like a staircase, not all at once. Grace builds upon grace. When you backslide and give in to your weaknesses, just repent. Get back up and carry on, praying that the next time you will conquer yourself because your heart is more riveted on my will than anything else. And I will make it worthwhile. I will flood you with my love and caring. Do not obsess about anything. That only locks your mind into combat, which is what we don't want. The truth is, the more you love me, the more you will naturally forsake the world. It is so simple, and I am here to help you. My brides, you are not to get caught and embroiled in a struggle. Give with a cheerful heart, for it is written the Lord loves a cheerful giver." And then she quotes 2 Corinthians 9:6-7. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly, we also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. "This move of my spirit," he continued, "is to give you the freedom to enter into me more deeply, not to have you struggling day and night about this or that. If you get caught up in such useless battles, you cannot possibly be effective for me. So don't allow that. Move with the grace of the moment. I do not want a religious spirit to enter in here. If you are able to sacrifice more of the world for me, do not grow proud or vain. You simply have more grace. If you fail, do not grow despondent. You simply overreached yourself. Go back to what is comfortable and start there again. It takes a while to get used to denying your flesh. It's a continuing work. In heaven, you will have no flesh to deter or distract you. Everything is under the control of your spirit. Isn't that something to look forward to?" And Clara said, "It surely is, Lord. It surely is." He continued, "Well, for now know that I am grateful and appreciative for every little thing you offer me in love. Oh, I am so grateful. For some, fasting and self-control become an idol or a means to show everyone how holy they are. By doing that, they cancel out any good that was done and fall into an even worse sin, pride. I know you struggle with that. It's a powerful delusion. But wasn't I faithful to deliver you, Claire, and show you your true state before me? One of the most comforting things I find about going to draw a set of random rhemas and messages is that they remind me constantly of the great love Jesus has for us, to help us gently, not demand unreasonable disciplines. Reprimands, demands, finger-pointing, and condemnation never come from the Lord, only the devil's." She goes on to speak of a rhema that I believe reads, "Much more to come." This one is meant to be an encouragement that many more good things are on the way to us. But the devil's twisted it in her mind to the point that she now writes, "I no longer look forward to drawing rhemas with expectation or joy. It is always an attack on that little bit of night's rest that I have had. I am rebelling, and the result is sin and suffering again, while I am not yet on my feet from the previous punishment or suffering for souls. The idea of suicide is becoming increasingly important. I start to fantasize about it and increasingly see it as a way out. I thought that Jesus' company would make me happy, and I would find at last peace in my life. but I have wept more in the last few months than in the years I have buried loved ones. I did not request a rhema for permission to write this to you. I did not dare. I know he knows I'm going to. But if I ask and he says no, I am disobedient yet again. I urgently need prayer support, because I can no longer bear this, and the bar only gets raised. Please, can you pray for me? Well, Claire sent this poor soul's letter to the prayer warriors, so that we could all do battle for her. And one of our prayer warriors had personal experience with this sort of thing, and wrote back to her. He had drawn a series of rhemas from the Bible promises to help guide him, and several things were brought up to him. He began, "The Lord give you peace, dear. I am also a heart dweller, and I will be praying for you. Please bear with me, but I would like to share some things with you I had to learn the hard way. Great feats of prayer and fasting can be just as deadly spiritually when we begin to feel pride in ourselves because of it. Pride swings the gate open wide. Lust is not only for physical things and comfort, but we can lust also for spiritual gifts and anointings and spiritual experiences. If instead of seeking the Lord to purely find him for himself, we seek him for his gifts, his power, that is not a pure motive. By comparison, it is like loving a man for his money, but not for who he is. This is a worldly mindset, but in spiritual terms. Satan is crafty. If he can't get you to lust after material things, he will tempt you to lust with spiritual things. This opens the door to lying spirits, who will drive you like a slave, giving you just enough encouragement to make you feel like you're going in the right direction, like the carrot on the stick that you can never seem to reach. You see others happy, gifted, and fulfilled in the Lord, and wonder why you don't have that, with all you're doing, as many times as you pray and fast. Then you begin to feel hopeless and joyless, and then life seems not worth living anymore. This situation you are in is an assignment from the enemy. The enemy's objective is to kill your faith so he can kill you. They are driving you to exhaustion so you will not be where the Lord planned for you. The very fact that you feared to ask for permission to seek help and guidance should raise a red flag. That is not the Lord. This is one of the reasons the Lord instituted spiritual confessors and overseers to provide guidance and insight and encouragement. This is a tactic of isolationism that Satan uses often. Also, the lack of sleep is contributing to the depression and suicidal thoughts. It says in the Psalms that he gives his beloved ones sleep. Prayer vigils are great, and there is no harm in them, so long as the Lord is leading you, and you are not merely doing it in your flesh. A lack of sleep will also affect discernment. It will make you much more vulnerable to lying and familiar spirits. Search your heart with Holy Spirit. The Lord loves you deeply. You are his precious and beloved child. He would never punish you for honestly examining your heart in humility before him. He is loving, gentle, and kind. Every burden he lays on us, he strengthens us to carry. Cry out to him for help, and he will help you. Sometimes we pray so much for others, we forget to pray for ourselves. Our net worth is summed up in his shed blood on Calvary's cross. Every good we have and do comes from him. All we own ourselves is our sins and faults. If he withdrew his graces from us, we could do nothing but sin. He is the vine, we are the branches. Apart from him, we can do nothing. And then he left her with these two scriptures, 2 Timothy 2:13. If we have no faith, he will still be faithful, for he cannot go against what he is. And 2 Peter 1:8, if you have all these things and keep growing in them, they will keep you from being of no use and from having no fruit when it comes to knowing our Lord Jesus Christ. He finished his letter to her, We are praying for you, dear. Don't lose hope. Indeed, we are all praying for this dear soul and her family, and for all of you as well, dear heart dwellers. Another prayer warrior and I went into prayer for her today. During our prayer, the Lord reminded us of yet another thing He has been stressing to us for years now, and especially lately, brotherly love. Love of God for each other. The power of love is so strong. It's why He calls us to pray for each other in love, not duty. My prayer warrior companion actually saw a demon melting in agony under a douse of love, as though it had been covered with a splash of battery acid. Another deliverance prophet I have read about once faced a witch completely given over to the demons. She came forward in one of his tent meetings threatening to kill him, and while he was praying and asking Holy Spirit just what was to be done for her, the Lord simply said to him, "Look her in the eyes and tell her, Jesus loves you." Over and over he told her this, and watched as the Lord broke through a tremendous oppression and reached right down into her soul. And she finally saw the Lord's love and received Him on the spot. We love you all so dearly, our family. Be vigilant. Learn about who Jesus is and His true character, so the devils cannot so easily fool you. If you are alone, ask the Lord to find you another soul to pray with and encourage each other with. Bond with your husband or wife in the Lord through the teachings and pray together. If your spouse is not a heart dweller, don't despair. Prayer from every single heart is heard. Even if there is no one physically near you that understands your growing relationship with the Lord, there is always email, texting, and Skype. All of my dearest friends and prayer partners through the Heart Dwellers live far from me, but it doesn't matter. The Lord knows exactly who would be a wonderful prayer companion for you. And don't forget to draw random messages along with your random rhemas. They are filled with love and encouragement and wisdom, hand-picked for us each day by Holy Spirit, to guide us and hopefully keep us from falling into the tar pits of the enemy. We love you, dear heart dwellers. May the Lord bless you. Amen.